I have been trying to get different people and representatives from actual, you know, like legit places beyond the breweries themselves, and all of them are, yeah, I've been ghosted. I have been ghosted by the most exotic people. All the important people don't want to talk to me.
Best ghosted list.
So impressive. Yeah. Tourism Nova Scotia wrote back to tell me to go away. Who
have you looked
to
at our beaches? Because you could go there and pound sand.
They wanted me to talk to Taste Nova Scotia, which is apparently the smaller the part of Tourism Nova Scotia that's all about tasting things.
Yeah.
So I emailed them to get ghosted.
It's about tasting Nova Scotians.
Yeah. Maybe I should have said it was a cannibalistic project.
Hmm.
They're like, yeah, we're into that. Okay.
All right. You want a grant or anything?
I am Ross. I'm being joined tonight by my friends of much beer reviews in the past, James, and my friend John of many other beer reviews. And considering the fact that most of our inside jokes are actually at the legal age to drink themselves, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry.
Oh, no.
Yes, that is me referencing the fact that we've known each other and been joking for at least 19 years.
Long time.
I don't like that fact.
It's probably closer to like 22 at this point.
And, yeah, I would think. It's got to be over 20.
I think so.
Yeah.
But
we could, our inside jokes could drink in the States.
What we did, it could. What we did was, well, I just sort of asked. I said, what do we want to drink? Because I've got a closet full of stuff that I drink with Ian. And James said, I will go to West Side Spirits. And I went, neat. What's a West Side Spirit? And then I've been learning bits and pieces about this place. So just on the other side of Bears Lake, I guess. Where would you call that? Is that? It's like right off Lacewood, anyway.
It's Clayton Park.
Okay. I have not heard someone say the words Clayton Park, so I wasn't sure if that's what we still call it because of, I don't know, development or...
Yeah,
or
that's fair.
What's the other word? Gentrification or something? I don't know. But so it's still there because I thought that was an LC because it's right next to a grocery store and they usually, you know, plonk them right there because when you're leaving and you've got an armful of walnuts and toilet paper, what do you need? Booze. So it's just a logical right next to. But West Side Spirits is a non-NSLC alcohol-selly place and their selection is different. I'm flummoxed. I'm so intrigued by this whole thing. But we found some, and James picked some out. So we've got the a Propeller Onyx Stout. At least three of us have that. And then James and I also have the Werewolf American Porter out of Burnside Brewing, formerly Spindrift, and then the Lundsmill Gebercrasher, and you can't say that any other way, also a stout. Because, yeah, I hadn't had the first two, but we have tried the Lundsmill Gebercrasher when we did have the Lundsmill representatives on the show. When was that last? I don't know. When we talked to Lundsmill, we tried the Gebercrasher, and oh my god, it's very tasty, so I do know that one's good. But normally, the other side is, we go with the lowest alcohol percentage and move our way up, but in the interest of politeness, I thought that it would make more sense, since John's got the Onyx and nothing else, we're just going to start with the Onyx and then move our way down. So, you know, what could be worse? What could be worse or better than starting with the highest alcohol percentage and going in the opposite direction?
Whatever. It's all medicine. It's all good.
It's okay. It's prescription.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's my Propeller background? I had one. It's in here somewhere.
Which one are we doing first? I'm not paying attention.
Onyx.
The Onyx from
Onyx.
From the one Propeller. I had never heard of.
Yeah.
Will Propeller do? They make a lot of beer. They are kind of what we refer to as the big boys of.
They're big, yeah.
Of Nova Scotia craft brewery.
Oh, we're getting into it already.
He is. He's going way off script here.
Woo.
And but they've just got lots and lots of batches. In fact, every time I go in, there's always another something in the LC. There's what was the one I made fun of the other week? The Cold IPA is one of their IPAs that they've got.
Oh.
I love how they've just embraced the fact that that's a flavor. So on the side of the Jet Black Onyx American Stout can, other than 6.0%, it says indulge in the richness of our Onyx American Stout with its velvety smooth mouthfeel and the flavors of dark chocolate, coffee, and a hint of smokiness. West Coast hops add a layer of pine and citrus to this robust brew. That started so good. And then, what are you doing? Throwing pine and citrus in there.
It does smell a little Christmas tree-y.
Yeah. Yeah. They done ruined the stove. This should be interesting.
I'm getting smoky. Let's get a little bit of the smokiness off of here. Kind of. A little. But yeah, there's so many propellers. And so many IPAs. You know, it's not like... I wish that they would do 9 flavors of the ESB. But you get one ESB and you get, I don't know, 12 IPAs now? That is an awful lot. Southbound India Pale Ale. Products, what else you got for me? Galaxy, the India Pale Ale, the Double IPA, the Azaka Session IPA, which is, I think, it's just an IPA at a 4.5%. So there's just slightly lower in the percentage. It didn't hit on the nose there for this, for the smell of it. I don't know. It's just coming through like a good smelling. But you know what? And I hate to say it because I still don't actually understand the difference between the two. It smells more like a porter than a stout. And I have no idea what that means.
I don't know well enough to know either.
Oh,
You're the one that's supposed to know things, Ross.
You're the beer guy. Come on.
I'm trying not to. Well, no, that's not true.
Oh, it does smell very piney.
It smells like maybe somebody trickled some beer down the trunk of a Christmas tree.
Did you try, and I hope the answer to this is no, this is one that Ian and I reference a lot. We had some Christmas beers many years ago, and Hell Bay did one that they called the Tannin... No, wait. Was it the Tannin Bomb?
Maybe.
And it was literally just supposed to taste like a pine tree. It was supposed to taste like a Christmas tree. And it did.
I bet.
And it was gross. But, you know, if you tell me that something's supposed to taste like, you know, beeswax, and it does, I'll say, well done. Gross.
Mission accomplished.
But, you did what you said you were going to do. That's fine and fair. That's dark. That is rather...
Yeah, pretty dark.
I enjoy that you managed to put it out there and it takes out your entire, like, it's like, now you're the green screen.
Look at that. It's the good stuff.
It absorbs all of the light from Ross's stream.
It do.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Well, this is so I can be all impressive behind me. Anyway, cheers.
How cold are your beers? Just, like, to set it. Yeah, mine hasn't been in a fridge for like 2 days.
Same.
Yeah, I took mine out of the fridge after work.
Damn near room temperature for me.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. So, I ask this because I don't taste anything.
Oh. I'm getting a smoke.
It's got smell, but it's like, all right. Well, okay. I guess maybe it's a bit of smoke, but I'm not getting like the pine smell is not in the flavor.
It's pretending like it's got a chocolatey up front, but I mean, you have to really concentrate to catch any of that. And then it just goes straight into this roasted smoke flavor, and that's what sticks around. There's not a lot of dimensions to this. But I will say, it don't taste like a 6%. Often you get a very sharp, kind of very strong tasting. To a strong beer, you say, oh yes, that is a strong beer. But when you drink strong beer, you become French Canadian.
Apparently. Depends on how strong it is, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm surprised how drinkable that is for how disgustingly piney it smells.
Yep. Absolutely.
It.
Like, I'm not going to rush out and get more of them.
No, but I'd drink it. It's not
agreeable. It's acceptable. Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
I was pretty worried when I put my nose to it earlier.
Question.
It does. Oh, hang on. My charger's exploding.
Propeller's got the Revolution Imperial Stout. But do they do an stout?
I do like their Imperial. I like the Revolution.
It's rather good.
I haven't had that years. I have. Had it before, and it was pretty good.
It also leans toward the smoky, though, doesn't it? Less on the chocolatey, more on the smoky?
It's got that kind of raisiny super boozy imperial flavor, but also some smoke, I think. It's been ages.
And Propeller's had the porter, which is...
Their porter's always been good.
Really hard to find, but they haven't had a just stout.
I don't think. Their ESB was okay.
Well,
They did like a coffee porter once that was great, and they only did like one bottle of it and never came back. So, because it was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then they said, "Hey, we're gonna make a cold IPA because all y'all jerks have been drinking our other IPAs way too room temperature and you'd hate it. So this is a reminder. Drink our IPAs. You need to
put the little mountains on the bottle that change color.
Well, you can't risk somebody actually tasting what the beer tastes like.
I told you about my story when I went to, it was Maritime Cider Express there in Kentville. And they had a nice dark stout on from somewhere. I can't remember where it's from. But I said, oh, I'll have a pint of that. And they pour it to me and it's in the nice fluted, the lovely deep, you know, the fat bottomed glass from the song. And I took a sip and it was icy cold and I couldn't taste anything. And I went, And I remember just kind of walking around nursing that thing for like an hour until it warmed up so I could actually get some flavor from it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, that's interesting, I would say, this thing.
Ooh.
It has the mouthfeel of a chocolatey stout. But not the flavor.
Yes.
It's even more campfirey down at the bottom. It's just a smoky mess.
I don't find it that smoky. A little bit.
It's a little, but not.
I think it's overpowering because it's
kind of overlap.
It's all I'm getting. So it's the only thing that's happening.
Mm.
Huh. Yeah, I think the pine and the smoke sort of overlap for me.
I'd like some pine.
There is smoke in it a little bit, and then it's got like kind of a Guinness thin stout sort of middle feeling to it.
Yup.
But then kind of an aftertaste, like it was a better beer than it actually was.
Hey, that fit.
That's what I would say. Weird start, boring middle, regretful end.
Title of your sex tape.
Hey,
well, you keep enjoying that one, John, because James and I need to move on.
You can't make me.
Or I don't know. Drink something else. If you got something better, holy cow! You know,
I paid for this. I'm drinking the fucking thing.
Can of your favorite brown.
Which numbers? Right?
Yeah, we're numbers down. So we go to the 5.5% Werewolf American Porter.
Wait, I thought we started at the lowest and went up.
Normally, yes. Normally, sir, yes.
Oh, we're just going full. We're going full reverse. We're not going.
I'm the one beer loser, and I only had this one.
No, I knew we did that one first. I was just making sure that we weren't then going to the lower one.
No, well, Ross is owning it. I've ruined his entire process.
That's no order whatsoever. That's just chaos. You got to have some order.
It's the same order as normal. You've just bumped one to the front. Listen,
which one do you want to drink?
Give your beers a tug.
We're gonna drink them both. Doesn't matter. I've had the Caper Crusher before, so I'm really interested in this cool werewolf, like this moon mist theme colored awesome thing going on here. Where it's got what is he holding on to here? He's got that's a can, and his tongue's the werewolf's tongue is hanging out, and his eyes look really freaky, as though he is already dead. Appears to have been already shot with a silver bullet. The moon on the horizon is like either vibrating or I don't know. That's just sort of discs. Some sort of.
Have you read the description yet?
I know that it's kind of themey, so it's on brand for It will transform your taste buds. Wah wah.
No. I mean, like, get into the details of the beer.
Oh, there's more to it. Okay, a beer that will transform your taste buds. Werewolf American Porter. Werewolf with an E on the end. There you go. So like a vampira. This is a werewolf. American Porter is named in honor of its creator, Logan Wolfe. Wolf with an E. Each sip is a blend of chocolate and roasted coffee with the aroma of pine and citrus that creates a complex and satisfying, robust flavor. The malt sweetness and hops bitterness harmonize for a smooth, dry finish with a rich, dark brown color that is a feast for the eyes. Werewolfe.
It's, at least that one gives a tan color head there, which is nice.
It does. It's less dark, which I don't think you can see on my camera, but I can see more through it. Like, with the werewolf, I can see the bottom of the glass.
Oh.
The onyx, I can't see the bottom of the glass.
No, oh, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I can see through that.
Also, the piney is much pinier.
What is with these hoppy stouts? No, wait, this is a porter. Never mind. The werewolf American porter. And then... My glass is full of head. Look at that.
Yeah, big head energy here.
What was the name of that cartoon? It was on late night Teletoon. It's like the Max, but it was a different one. It was the guy with the enormous, this big, huge. Was he just called the Head?
I don't know.
Am I crazy?
Heed punch no.
Teletoon the Head. I think it's just, The Head, 1994 TV series. American science fiction adult animated television series created by Eric Fogel. Science fiction miniseries. See, I can remember and think of things. The Head. Very unfortunately named show, because he should have had a toilet staple to his head. And it's a double head situation. Head on a head. Ooh. I need to change my background. We are out here.
Yes, you do.
The hell are we going here? Oh, right, Burnside. I found a picture for Burnside. I kept searching because it is not glamorous or complimentary, if I can find it.
Tell us how you really feel.
Effectively looks like it was just a picture on their first day. Here you go, boys. We got stools, tables. Do the stools match? No. Do you have curtains on the windows? Nope. Anything on the walls? Nah. Hang your coat on one of these cool little rope anchors here.
A cleat.
Thank you. I was like, I know the word for that. I've been on a boat.
We're nautical now, baby.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Ooh, this smells hoppy. It smells curiously hoppy.
It's quite hoppy.
Why aren't we drinking hoppy dark beers? This just feels wrong.
Because I looked at labels, and truthfully, I tried to pick out... Like, I picked an IPA when I was shopping, and I picked a pale ale. Because I was trying to include Tom. But then you went and picked three porters.
Damn straight. Well, I'd had the other ones, I think. These were the only ones that I'd not yet had. From said establishment of West Side Spirits, which I do want to mention. The theory is, and these are just sort of opinions that I read online, that this store, these stores that are not NSLCs, they have to sell... Or they can only sell things that are not available in the NSLC. And I'm like, I don't think that's exactly accurate. Yeah,
it's not remotely accurate. When I bought all these beers, I also bought a case of Toller Gold.
Well, there you go. Okay. So the question is...
You're just allowed... Like, the law has changed a couple of years ago. There's private stores can sell liquor now. They just have to have a license. And there's Bishop Cellar and there's West Side Spirits. There's a bunch of them here in the city.
The thing that I found was way back when, somewhere around 2002, Pete's Fruitique made some sort of lobbying, and four non-NSLCs were allowed to start selling things. And West Side Spirits was one of them, but it was called something else at the time. But why do they, so why does this West Side Spirits, why do they have the Caber Crusher and the NSLC does not?
I don't know. I'm sure you're going to tell us how it's a conspiracy to keep people out of the NSLC. Nope. Like you normally do.
I have.
I think it's just volume.
Yeah, it's volume. Pure supply and demand.
NSLC has very strict and very high volume requirements for a beer to be on their shelf.
So they also,
the guys get to pick and choose what they want.
Yeah, and then the NSLC also has their whole, we're doing Air Miles loyalty programs, so they carry what sells and what doesn't sell, they don't carry.
Yeah. So, you know, most of their stores are Rhodesian reach around to the big breweries.
Oh! Oh. Took a little sip off the top of the can of the werewolf, and honestly, it tastes... There is no other word for it. Soapy.
I think... Oh, you said off the can, so it's not your glass.
It is not my glass.
Mine does not taste soapy.
Okay, well, we'll give it a go. All set. Are you dead into it already?
Oh, yeah.
Deep in. All right, fine. Well, ceremonial cheers, damn it.
I'll say deeply inoffensive is where it tastes slightly pinier, but we wouldn't buy it again.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's got some hops bitterness. The malt sweetness and the hops bitterness harmonize for a smooth, dry finish. No, they don't. Rich, dark brown color that's a feast for the... I mean, when you're getting down to the point of, it looks pretty, then maybe you're kind of clutching at straws on your beer.
Yeah, and when you're like, which one is more black?
Not
yours. Not really a thing.
A blend of chocolate and roasted coffee. Nope. The aroma of pine and citrus...
You start out so strong there.
Oh,
it's just.
It's I like this far less than the other one. So far, John chose correctly.
Yep. Absolutely.
We have chosen poorly. And the Holy Grail will now turn us into 100,000-year-old haunting zombified freaks before your eyes.
I'm glad this one wasn't worse.
It's not undrinkable. It's bitter. It's bitter and does not have any of the nice, complex mixes that it's been advertising. Blend of chocolate and coffee? No. Just the bitterness of maybe a roasted coffee on the end. And then the sweetness in the hops? Nope. It's all hops. It's all hop bitterness. I'm not getting anything else. I don't know. Would it taste different ice cold? Probably. Because I find that bringing something up to not ice cold, basically the hops are like exponentially flavorful, whereas everything else is just kind of a slow gradient. You bring something up to room temperature and a malty beer will be all, yes, now I am malty, whereas a hoppy beer is, oh my god, I'm going to murder you and burn your house down.
Yeah, there's nothing here.
It's not nothing. It's just gross. Tis.
Nothing would be better.
Mm.
It's a bit like you mixed a normal stout and a Vicar's Cross.
Yeah.
Like you just mixed. And like, I like a Vicar's Cross.
Eyes closed. I would say, ooh. Is this a Vicar's Cross? Is this a double IPA from Propeller? What is this? Not expecting a weird porter. But have I had disagreeably hoppy porters before? Yes. Seems to be some sort of style. And maybe that's... And I hate to say it, and I hate to crap on our delightful orange fizz neighbors from the south, but when it has American in front of it, one time have I not been disappointed by said beer. It says, this is the American version of this. And I went, oh, God, what are we doing? An Irish red. We went through this for a long time where a red ale is basically an Irish red. There's not another kind. And then we finally found one, and it said, here, try ours. It's the American red. And we went, oh, does that just mean that it's going to be a really hoppy red?
Yeah.
Yes, it did. That is precise. So I feel like when you put American in front of something on a beer, that is not in a movie. On a movie, you're fine, but on a beer, it's certainly kind of, hey, who wants uninvited hops all over the place with no real plan? We'll wax poetic about mix and synergies on the description, but it's really just, yeah, we took this beer and we rubbed some hops all over it. Whether it wanted, deserved, or needed it, it happened.
Yep.
Non-consensual hops.
The old NC. That was your nickname in high school?
Been called worse?
On the leapfrog team, maybe?
See, personally, I was thinking of Jump Rope for Heart.
Ooh.
The classic fundraiser where you got out of class to go skip rope for a day.
I have a story, and...
Yeah, you do.
It doesn't... I don't feel like it works well in text, so I needed to tell you guys with audio.
Is it legal to retell?
Accoutrement. It,
apparently it's legal to retell and broadcast.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So...
All right, buckle up, children.
We went to Exotic Fredericton for my daughter was there for a volleyball tournament, and
we're not talking like a story from before. This is a story from this month.
Recent anecdotes. You know, it's fresh in the old mind butter there. So I will get most of the details correct.
So, I never want to hear you say mind butter ever again.
So. Oh, this one's
too much butter on
directly the scooped from the mine butter. This story is. Don't worry about it at all. All slippery, ready to get gross right through your fingers.
All at once, right in the mine butter.
So, drove back and forth between hotel, gym, nasium, where she's playing the game, and every time we're back and forth, there's this one little church just on the corner. It's the Maritimes. There's six churches, but one of them happened to say, let's see if I can get this right. The life Tabernacle Church.
That sounds like a real thing.
And so it was the Life Tabernacle Church. I'm like, okay, my wife is the first one to have a problem with this. She says, isn't that a bad word in French, like specifically French Canadian? And I said, yeah. And I said, isn't New Brunswick like a good deal of French Canadian? And I said, yeah. And then she said, so did they just name their church F Life?
You understand why it's a curse word in French, right?
Yes, I do.
And that's why it's okay to call the church it.
That's so. This goes to my other question. When you go to church in, say, Quebec City, and someone would like you to take the holy chalice and place it over there on the tabernacle, are they allowed to ask you that without you, like, blushing?
I mean, other than the fact that the tabernacle is a structure and not a thing inside of a structure.
Oh, I thought that was the... Isn't that the main...
You're confusing the words table.
Yes.
And tabernacle.
I am.
The tabernacle was like a tent-like structure that contained the Ark of the Covenant so that not just anybody could see the presence of God.
Only the paying customers.
You're only two beers in and you're calling it the Covenant?
Listen, I'm rusty on a...
They're piney beers, come on.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. But anyway, it mostly...
Also, what about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? How many times you stub your toe or something and go, Jesus Christ!
Of Latter-day Saints.
Their church, not Jesus Christ. It's right there in the title.
Well, then this is why this had to be a vocal conversation, not a textual conversation, because it comes down to, hello, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as opposed to, hello, we're from the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, it does that would get better attention, but yes.
Hey, Pierre, go and put the Carles on the tabernacle, yeah? Is a little different from Da Pierre, yeah. I thought you Carles on the tabernacle. It's, yeah, it's intent. It's a little bit, if there yeah. is a degree of confrontational tone. Oh, is that the one? Yeah. When they're saying,
it's intent.
I don't know yeah. what you're saying. But now you're saying it with a confrontational tone.
I think it's like when you say "Oh God," like yeah. people in church say "Oh God" all the time, and
yep.
it's okay. And then when you're fighting a PHP file and go "Oh God,"
yeah, Jesus,
it's a curse word.
Yeah,
that
same idea.
I'm sorry that we brought nuance to this discussion.
I wanted nuance. I wanted nuance, but I just wanted to have the conversation that there seemed to be a sign that certainly in English it says very happily Life Tabernacle, but I just wondered mm-hmm. why that particular one did not have the French translation. It's slightly larger letters directly above it.
Well, because you were in New Brunswick.
Because we weren't in Quebec and that wasn't the law. That's true. Okay, but... For the other reason, most, a lot of signs are in both languages. Even in New Brunswick, you get both because you got the Rue.
I think Manson you will find, though, that many church groups are not serving both groups because it's hard to do two languages for
hard
a community
to preach
group.
In two languages.
Tell me what to find.
They call speaking in tongues. It's largely frowned upon.
You say that.
I love the subtle implication there, John, that you just made that speaking in tongues is just preaching in a different language. Like,
no, in two at once.
Oh, we had a... Oh, two at once. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was picturing, like, you have a French preacher show up to an English
Anyone
church.
Who preaches in non-English is speaking in
yeah,
tongues.
Yeah, yeah, no.
The congregation throws a brick at the poor
two
guy.
At once. It's the two at once, the conflagration.
Bonjour, tout le monde! He's speaking in tongues. Throw a snake at the man.
Yes Ross, this is your Australian and French. Go for it.
Mm-mm. Oh, it's fine. I don't
also,
need
there's
to.
A more slangy version of that word, I think, Ross, uh-oh. In the Quebecois slang, tabernouche, which is like a little more personal, I think.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know the direct translation. I've heard of it on the internet, so I know it's right.
I think the
tabernouche.
Tabernouche is when you clean the inside of the tabernacle.
Oh, maybe, yeah. So it's like tabernouche, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's the godly French douche. Keep your church fresh. And flowery.
Drove past a Presbyterian church on our drive home today, and it was up for sale, as churches seem to be. $300K. They are still affordable, some of these churches. Drafty as the hills with zero insulation and resale value. But hey, I don't know. I feel like I would enjoy living in an old church. I feel like that needs to happen before I die.
Depends on the church. It can be quite neat.
Oh.
Yeah. The other challenge in a situation like that is I would be very tempted to start a religion at that point.
Yeah.
Do you have to? Is it like written in the...
No, but the tax breaks would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
Was it? You just have to run a business and call it a religion. It's fine.
Convince a few people to follow you.
Yeah. How hard can that be?
I don't think anybody's like counting follower numbers or anything.
I think Revenue Canada wants you to have at least 20.
Oh, yeah?
I but, like, can't imagine that.
That's doable.
Like, there's doable. No way. There's no way Revenue Canada's there. Oh, you're a religion, are you? How many followers do you have? 19. Oh. Oh.
Sorry.
I can't stamp this. What?
yeah.
Also,
I think you just need to turn into a better racket where, like.
The breakdancing naked guinea pigs is not a good name. I can't stamp this.
Your congregation is giving donations. Mm. To the church so that they get tax write-offs on their donations. And then the church gets tax write-offs on their business.
Wait.
So you can invite people in as part of like the whole business.
And wait until you realize the church and the patrons are just one person.
Yeah.
You're not trying to suggest like that the whole system is fixed and unfair, are you? Because
are we moving on?
Yes, we're moving on before we get into dangerous territory.
Thank goodness. I can't keep drinking these bad beers.
Lund's Mill Beer Company, Kaber Crusher.
I promise you, Leroy, this one will refresh your taste.
I'm pretty sure John and I have spoke of this one before as well. It is whipping in there at 4.1% alcohol by volume, so this one's not going to kick our faces in, which is nice. Over on the website.
Like a feature, not a bug.
Where you can read on the website, because you can't read it on the can, it says Kaber Crusher. A stout weighing in at 4.0%, which is inaccurate to where it can, and a low 33 IBU. It's dark, yet light. What? It's dark, yet light.
I mean, I got a bit of a two-tone thing going here.
Dark, yet light. Strong and mellow. Roasted coffee aroma with dark chocolate notes. If it's got any chocolate in it, it's going to be the first one. Brewed to celebrate the Guinness World Record holder in Gaberdos, Danny Frame.
Fun fact, the head grows at a rate where if you put your nose close to it to smell it, the foam will grow into your nose.
So a feature, not a bug.
There's a really gross reference in there somewhere. Here we go, Lund's Mill. There, I'm in the right spot.
Interesting part of this is after being slapped in the face with pine smell after the last two, I'm like, does this one smell like anything?
Well, that's where you're going to be happy because it's finally.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not slapping me in the face with pine smell. Oh. And I'm like,
it smells like brown beer.
Oh, it's a brown beer with malt forward.
It's good for you.
That's Kaber Crusher. Now, I was actually a little disappointed the first time. No, when I had Guinness, and it wasn't in the flavor, it was in the percentage. Because it's a 4.3, and for some reason, my brain went lighter colored beer, lighter alcohol percentage, darker color. I don't know where just the dark color meant booze or meant alcohol flavor. So I thought, oh, I can't have a Guinness. That's what, like 7% or something? I think the official one is 4.3 still.
That's right up there with the day that I learned that sherry, despite being the drink of Frasier, is not a weak drink.
Wow. When did you think sherry? Why?
I just always assumed it was like a cooler or like just something like Niles and Frasier don't seem like they're like into the heavy drinking. No,
but,
so,
but you saw the size of drinks that usually when you get a sherry, you effectively get a shot glass on a plinth.
Let's be clear. I saw drinking on TV, which I assume nothing about portion sizes.
Yeah.
And then I experienced a bottle of sherry in real life where I poured a wine glass amount of sherry.
You certainly experienced it then.
That is an experience.
To be clear, I did not learn that sherry is fortified wine by reading a label.
But you done learned.
I did learn.
Yeah, there was learning.
Some, I learned the hard way.
I have the fortune to show tourists around the wine region during tourism season. And whenever they say, what's your favorite wine? I always begin with, I am not a wine enthusiast.
April?
However, hear me out. I enjoy all of the wines that you can get on the tour that you can actively feel your chest hair growing. You know, the good stuff.
Doubles for the women.
Yes. And it's like the sherry. I need something that it is served in such a small, because it's a fortified, you have to drink this tiny little thing.
You want the wines that are given like as punishment.
Yeah. Right. Well, I like it because it's a lot of them, and especially these dessert wines. I had a really good one, fortified.
Ross likes the wines that you would give to the people in the, like in the stocks and in the manacles that
what,
are like,
what
this is what's going to sustain you for today. What, here, this drink.
What I tell them is they said, "Oh, would you like to try this? Oh, it's a rosé white." And I said, "Nope, I would not like to try that." I said, "Let me give you this example. My favorite wine, a wine that I consider good, if you cough after taking a sip of it, that's my kind of wine. Okay, you need to give me that. Like, it's such a thick red. I need to feel the particles."
I see. You want whiskey, but you're settling for the fact that you have wine.
Yes. So it's dessert wines, these fortified things that you get. And a lot of them have, here's a dessert wine. It's a fortified this. And it comes out, it pours out like jam. It's kind of oozing out of the bottom into this little splotch.
It's interesting that you describe this, because to me that sounds like a nightmare. And I've learned, starting with the Wolf Hill Ice Wine Festival, yeah, I don't like dessert wines. No. And that is for one very specific reason.
Because you when keep it comes pouring time yourself for a tumbler drinks, of sherry. That's the problem. You got to have it in small...
Because when it comes time for dessert, give me an old-fashioned. Give me, I like a white wine with fish. I like, wine has its place, but it's like, dessert wine is like, what if we tried to make wine be like other liquor? And I'm like, but I like other liquor.
Yeah.
I think what I like about it is someone done made McCoff syrup boozy.
All right.
You just need sherry then.
Yeah. At that point, once again, fortify it a little bit more. Robitussin, but sherry. And
yeah, that's it. Robitussin. I am drinking the Motussin. And I think when they give me the little sampler glass, and you could spend the afternoon there trying to suck that last little bit of the fluid out, but it is glued to the inside of the glass. Give me the rest of the glass. It says, no, I am now in syrup format. I will never escape this glass. It's not happening. This caper crusher.
My favorite wine is Dime Top.
It's this one is thick as the propeller. The werewolf porter was a little bit on the I can see through it side. This one is.
It's about
Onyx.
Gary NyQuil. That's what he needs for wine.
Oh, am I going to end up doing the same thing I did on the last episode of this podcast I was on?
What's that? Shrieking? Yeah. I don't know.
No, mixing drinks together because I can't tell the difference to see if it makes a difference.
Oh, you might.
Here's what I've done. I put the can
in safety to the other drinks.
So that way I know which one I've got.
Oh, you see... I showed you earlier that I had my setup with the cans in front of the glasses. As I've poured them, I put the cans behind the glasses.
Yeah, good.
That's
so that then I maintain order and things stay sane here.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty clever. That's fine. Oh, there's another one. What does the word onyx mean?
It's a pretty precious stone, isn't it?
I was going to say black.
It's also used to mean black.
Is it a type of stone that is just a jet black stone, or is it just meaning black?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, good. To the internet.
I don't think. I'm literally running a.
Black onyx. It's a type of stone that has a black variant.
It comes from the Greek onyx.
Good. I'm happy for you.
It meaning nail, claw, or veined gem.
Oh, that's the worst band name I've heard all evening.
Veined. Yep. No.
I don't know. I think the whole nail, claw, or veined gem. That's the full band name right there.
Maybe an album.
Truth and or dare.
Is it nail, claw?
Chalcedony? It's a kind of quartz?
I don't know. I stopped reading.
Oh, there's a gemstone known as sardonyx. Why isn't this called a sardonyx? That's even better. Chalcedony. Oh, what is the symbolism of onyx, and what does onyx mean spiritually? I'm not clicking on either of those.
Oh, what if it means tabernouche?
Translucent chalcedonian parallel layers of different colors. Neat.
Yeah, that's the definition I'm looking up right now. I'm looking at right now, trying to figure out what that means.
But everything is very... this is black onyx. Not onyx. Black onyx.
I'm going to move to a different area of online definitions to look it up.
Oh, what? You're not reading this on thecrystalcouncil.com?
Nope. I'm now reading on Urban Dictionary. Where
the first definition is
a rock.
Nice. Love it.
And then they get more colorful.
So then there's more than a black onyx.
Nope. They're mostly speaking of certain racial sectors of people.
Ooh, white onyx.
Yeah. Like onyx can be an extremely talented quartet of young black Christians whose cache of wholesome, inspirational songs have influenced millions. I'm guessing that must mean there's a band.
Hmm. Yeah, they had a hit in 1993 called Slam.
Oh, they're a hip-hop group.
Yeah.
Didn't we see that? That was a very popular video of the two young Christians, young black Christians in their very nice church clothing. What was the name of that song? Big Booty Bitches, if I don't...
Yes, that is the one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Onyx right there, those two. They were half an Onyx.
That's a modern day classic. Absolutely. Like, that's up there with Vivaldi. It's just astonishing.
I have my wife, I wouldn't say so much trained as so much, I guess, a Pavlovian response when we go to Walmart.
Oh, yes.
We go into Wally World. And it's funny because that video is difficult to find these days. The original. Originale. She buying boy shorts.
Modern day masterpiece.
Yes, indeed. All two of those for sure, and then some. Black Onyx certainly does seem to be the favored one. I did find a site that is selling some white onyx on a jewelry site. Onyx comes through Latin, meaning claw or fingernail. With its flesh tone color, onyx can be said to resemble a fingernail.
Yeah. I would just like to say that I do not like flesh tone.
Moist flesh tone.
The moist flesh tones.
That's my Motown group.
That's a good one. Hey, I've had some caper crusher. James, where are you on this one?
How's your caper crusher doing there, fellas?
It's a good palate cleanser. It smells good, tastes good.
Because it is not...
Tastes like brown beer.
Yes. There's a little tiny bit of a hop, but that is like there's a slight bitterness, but that's just a welcome change.
This is a good stout, is what I would say. And I know our lovely friend Tom tapped out and said wasn't joining us because he didn't want to drink a bunch of stouts.
True.
Yeah.
And Tom made the right choice after drinking those last two stouts.
Yeah. One was a pretty
Correct. One was masquerading as a porter, true. But like, it was a bad IPA in a porter trench coat.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I would much rather have a good IPA.
Well, this is why, and I've got a couple in the closet that Ian and I are going to be drinking at some point soon. A relatively new concoction, beer flavor, I guess. Some sort of type is the black IPA.
Oh, I've heard of those.
The IPA, but shimalti.
I feel like I've had some of those.
Eclipse from Lund's Mill was the game changer for me. They had one, it was called an Eclipse Black IPA. So when I see something that says a black IPA, I'm like, okay, I will try your black IPA and we will see what happens when I experience these. And it's using a darker, closer towards black onyx.
Using a roasted malt or whatever.
A roasted malt in your IPA process. And luckily, a lot of the time, that is where the mix comes in good. Where it's like, I am roast and I am dark and I am good. Like, but
balances out the other junk.
Yeah. So I think it's one of my favorite new styles. The other one
I've
also found.
Occasionally run across a black lager, which is a similar sort of affair.
Schwarzbier, yeah? The Schwarzbier.
I'm a kleiner Schwarzbier.
We've had a couple of those, and yeah, there's a dark goods? Something, a dark lager in there, and a Schwarzbier. The dark cream ale out of Hell Bay, that was the game changer for me.
I've had it years and years, like a million years ago, and I just couldn't be impressed.
I think I was drinking it in some weird random back room of a pub in Halifax, and it was the best thing I'd had thus far. It's kind of this doesn't look like a Molson Canadian. Bring it on!
Yeah, it would be better than that. Married to the Sea from Church, the porter.
Yep, well, that's...
They do something with German lager recipe or something on that. I think
they call that one a German porter, but yes.
And that's a fantastic beer. I really like that one. Interesting. Like, it's very portery. And then it has this really brilliant, like, clean, easy finish like a lager. Like, there's something different about it. Like, it's just, it's porter, and then it just kind of evaporates.
Well, it was one of the things I was mentioning to you before we started going tonight, was that in attempting and exploring all of these NS craft beers, it's not very often that I say, ew.
Yeah.
Where early on, for a goodly long time, we all said, oh, this one's so smooth. We stopped bothering to say that.
Yep.
Because they all like, oh, this doesn't have that that awful stank of someone left a dead skunk in the back of your throat. Are you noticing that? Are you noticing that that's not really there in some of these beers right now? How odd. Someone thought I didn't want that flavor in there anymore, and it's gone. And you're just, ooh.
Yeah.
What a delightful, clean finish.
I can't taste the pennies in the back of this beer. Coppery metallic junk flavors,
and it's one of those things where I'm constantly I wouldn't say training myself, but just learning that certain flavors that you have been used to might not specifically have supposed to have been there.
No, probably not.
For example, the stank. But I do love. When every now and then, especially in an IPA or a double IPA, it says the descriptors on the flavor, and it comes up with dank.
You don't mean that.
Are we all agreeing on what the word dank means?
Yeah, you had an episode last month of the podcast where you had like two dank beers, and I was like,
these are dank.
To me, dank is a specific word reserved for the like pot community.
Yeah, at this point.
And I had two friends on, and they loved them some IPAs, and one of the hazy IPAs that we drank, and they said, this one is definitely dank. And I said, good, you're here. Okay. Explain. what is the beauty, you know, what is the goal here when you say it's dank? They said, it basically smells like you walk past your weird roommate's bedroom on a Friday night kind of thing. And I said, okay. So we are saying a weedy kind of, so it's an MJ. Yeah, it's a Mary Jane, Mary Joanna kind of smell flavor thing to another. And you're saying people want this?
Get the sticky icky beer.
Oh, try this one. Yeah, this one will.
Yeah.
It's all the smells of smoking pot without all of the chemical joys of it. Ooh.
Ah, boy.
Sign me up. Yes, please.
Yeah. That is a tough sell.
You know, it wasn't the usual plan, and I did not think about this carefully, but ending on the Caber Crusher, I think, was correct.
Probably fortuitous.
Absolutely.
It's coming through a tad more roasty now. It's starting to have just a little bit of a bit at the back. So honestly, it is a bit like the Onyx, just not quite as strong flavored. And I guess...
And we'll go up the Christmas tree.
Between a 4.1 and a 6.0, I guess that makes a little bit of a sense. And since I've still got a tiny amount of the Onyx left, I'm going to give that a little bit of a slam.
Just bash that into your moist flesh tones. Just drive it right in there.
Whoo! Yep, that's the stronger of the two. Hooyay! That's where all the smokiness is reserved.
So, dipping back into them, I don't hate the onyx.
I don't
it's
either.
It's fine. It smells funny, but it doesn't taste funny.
I might hate the werewolf,
The werewolf smells funny and tastes worse.
Yeah. Like the no werewolf.
And if it said, hey, we're a super bitter porter, fine. But it said, we mix cleanly, you're going to get chocolate and all these other things. And I didn't get anything. All I got was...
No.
Dang.
Everybody promises that shit. As soon as I get a dark beer, it's, it tastes like chocolate. And
it's probably. Look, it's dark. What else would it taste like?
It's dark. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to taste like firewood and moss.
It's dark, so it must be chocolate.
Yes, there.
Yeah.
Have the dark beer.
Tabernouche.
It is tree bark and asphalt. Go.
Yep.
Enjoy.
Pretty much. I prefer mine with only the asphalt, not the tree bark.
See? Now we're talking.
Yeah.
That'll be in our Tabernouche brewery that we establish eventually.
Tabernouche stout. You can taste the sticks and rocks.
Tabernouche. Very dapper looking gentleman with half a mustache standing there going, hello. Went into Tabernouche.
You can have Tabernouche.
Strangely enough, how's everyone feeling on your Tres beers and John with his solo beer? James, do you have any final thoughts?
I think I'm like
regretting.
I'm doing fractional
to do this.
Math.
You don't even look.
I'm like, five and a half thirds, so 11/6 through my three beers.
Yeah,
you're really focusing on the fractions there.
So I'm 11/18 through. I'm slightly over half.
What about a score number on them?
Though? I got a whole bunch of beer left. Like that's.
Numbers?
Yeah, we gotta rate these.
Do we?
We do. Yeah. That is how this. That's the premise of the show.
All right.
Isn't that something you do?
Caber Crusher is quite good. I do like it. I'd say that's like an 8. Honestly, maybe an 8.3.
Yes. The classic Ross scale of 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're not all there. The Onyx, I'd say, was probably maybe like a 7.8, 7.9. And the Burnside Werewolf, that is 6.1, 5.9, somewhere in around there. It's a 6.0 out of 10.
I didn't think Ross's scale went below 7.
Normally, everything tastes delicious. This is what you brought me to.
Listen,
I'm just going to reiterate.
I presented at least 6 options. True. And you selected these 3.
True.
This is partially my fault. Sorry.
No, the Onyx is fine.
Oh, the Onyx? That's... Then I did.
Okay.
I think it deserves
a
place.
In a pinch.
It's in there, yeah.
Whatever
an American stout is, whatever an American porter is, which I still think is just like a big word for hopped up nonsense beer.
Yeah, I don't really care if they call it American stout or not. They've called it a stout, but then they dumped a pine tree in it, and I'm going to give them a 5.
Have you put these
pine treeing up my fucking stout?
And what kind of pine trees do you find in the States? They're in there, but.
Bear piss on them, clearly.
Bear piss trees.
Yeah.
That's the stuff.
Oh, you don't have
and
a John.
Having had a caber, crusher before, I would say 7. 7.5, probably, on a caber crusher.
Yeah, I was rocking up to this somewhere between 7.5 and an 8.
Yeah. It's good. 7.5, probably.
Ross is sitting here thinking... 7.5 means I never want to order this beer again.
Not necessarily. Because I rate on a where is it on what kind of beer it presents itself as.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm still just saying. I know
your stance pretty good.
Officially is 5 is undrinkable.
Yep.
Yeah.
And lower. But also, listening to your show, you never then rate much below an 8.
Because everything's pretty darn good.
Food.
knows?
This is, I get this. Yes, all goes back. I think I should be somewhere on the Tourism Nova Scotia page because there is. I don't give a bad review. Well, I do give some bad reviews.
If I was to give a beer a 9, that would mean like that's the like the only beer I'm going to drink.
Yeah.
When I have something and for a while, if I have something that I love it, it's like this is so good. I love this. Then I try really hard to say, is there anything that I would want improved? What is missing from making this the perfect 10? And then you find it and you sort of say, okay, yeah, this could be better. This could be a bit better. And so the perfect beer is usually somewhere between a 9.2 and it could be as high as a 9.6.
Perfect is
eight to nine, drinkable and repeatable. Sevens are drinkable and yeah, what else you got?
Oh no. See, like drinkable starts at 6. Yeah. Like if below 5 is undrinkable, that means 5.5 is drinkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truthfully, listening to these episodes, my problem is your scale goes 0 to 5, then skips to 7, and like nothing is ever going to score a 6.
I've scored 6.
Challenge accepted.
In fact, I just scored.
Every beer is a 6 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You gave scores that are reasonable for me today. All right. We got Caber Crusher in here. Oh, I see they're all in there, so I can go put my numbers directly in. Caber Crusher,
the spreadsheet.
7.5 for Caber Crusher.
Jesus.
Werewolf was a solid 7.
I don't even remember. What I
didn't hate it. Didn't love it. And then the Onyx. I gotta go 4. I would not order another one.
The Onyx.
I'm feeling a little generous at 5.
But no. 5. Oh, I did that wrong.
You Werewolf. Did that wrong. What are you doing? Oh, you
did I did it wrong in wrong order. 6.5 on the Onyx. I would have another one, but I'm not gonna like go out of my way to acquire another
for
one.
It. You see, the beer that I smuggled a bunch back from Vermont is a maple breakfast stout, and I would give that a 9 all day long because it's amazing.
Look at that, Russ. You gave something a 6. What was it? The Stillwell Cream. I drank that last night. It was fine. It was good.
Six, eight.
I just want to take a moment to appreciate that Ross's scale, while almost never going into the sixes, has differentiated not a 6.5, not a 6, not a 7, but a 6.8.
Yeah.
Like, we're not quite to a 7.
I raise the number until my mind says no. So I say, yeah, that one's about a, is it a 6.5? Sure, it's a 6.5. Is it a 6.6? Yeah, okay. Is it a 6.7? I'd give it a 6.7, and then you get up to, is it a 6.9? No. And then you stop, and then you go one number down.
Are we
I don't have to explain
beer?
Myself to you.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, apparently there's a spreadsheet.
Oh, there is.
That's Somebody why I don't need to explain down. Myself to you. I just point you to the spreadsheet.
Somebody this mark is... me down for spreadsheet numbers. Put my user numbers in there.
Yep. My user numbers do not work. I am looking at, if I'm getting this right here, this is approximately beer number 313 we have, or I have, or someone has reviewed.
That's quite a few.
There's been a few. This is technically episode 70 of the podcast, but week number 162 I've done this.
Your math is just fantastic.
I mean, well, I'm just reading numbers. They're right there.
Perfect.
That spreadsheet does it for me.
Wait, how many beers did you say you've done?
What?
319.
Okay. I mean, it's not correct because there's 4 lines at the top. He's at 315.
So... did it say it's 318 at the bottom and we're on line 5?
Yeah.
313 then, yeah. Little over 300 beers.
That's a decent amount of beers.
It's an amount.
Almost like you do 2 a week for 160 episodes.
Something like that, yep.
Seems about like that, yeah, give or take.
Wait, I feel like you must not have recorded beers, because in your IPA episodes, you've done like 20 beers.
At most,
sounds like a problem.
One night we did 6. But no, they're all in there.
Why?
No, but I was just like, we're on episode, what, 160? 160?
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be 320 beers if you did 2 an episode.
But he doesn't always do 2 an episode.
No, but don't you always do two or more an episode?
No, sometimes I do just the one. If it's just me and okay. I don't have you guys to fall back on for entertainment value, then it's just me sitting here drinking.
That's fair.
Hello, I'm here on the internet.
Let's
and
be clear.
I'm drinking this beer, which tastes a little bit like Salisbury steak.
I listen to the episodes where it's just you, and you have no problem filling 75 minutes.
Well,
no.
Here's the thing. And Ian says this. He says, oh, do you talk less when I'm not there? And I said, Ian, I...
You can't.
The line that I used at improv once, and I think John might have been there.
Ross has got a one speed.
Will talk until I am physically impeded.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
If I can go to fill a fundraising marathon of 40 hours straight, stopping only to go and pee, it's not that I have a shortage of words. I have a shortage of words, but I have no shortage of putting them all in different order.
You know, the lack of regulation, maybe.
Well, yeah, it's lots of that. But no, if you want to hear the same words just in a different order over and over again,
are my nine words. Yeah.
I'm your hotspot. Here are my nine words in different order.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to bonk off, guys.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me.
Bon John for joining. Tea, join for Johnning.
Whatever.
I appreciate that John has embraced the Ian of like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, I know.
It's my favorite part of the night. I was asking for numbers so we could get ourselves out of here and get on to the remainder.
We need to do this with a better beer.
The remainder of the evening. Well, next time we'll get John's picks. How about that?
Oh, God.
That's a fall kind of thing, right?
All right. Very good. Cheerio. Keep beering onward, John.
And on and another time. Thank you to John, and thank you to James for joining me tonight, as Ian is not available. But next week, Ian will be available. He will be back, and we will be trying, I don't even know why we haven't planned that far ahead. But if you wander on over to the YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You could also follow our podcast in all podcasty places. If you want to go straight to the source, you can go over to drinkns.unsupervised.beer. That's where the whole thing all starts and stops. But we are here on the YouTube page live every Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. at, I don't know if you've ever said Atlantic time, but I'm ready now. So join us again next week. We're comparing another couple of beers. Hopefully occasionally talking to a few brew masters and other friends. But thanks for joining, and we'll see you next week. Good night.